Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
This is episode 4 of Capacitors, and you'll hear me breathing again, possibly as hard as I'm on the home stretch. And in this episode, I want to cover... the previous episode, I've given you a warning that what you've been taught about by particle at point electrons, although it's great for drawing electrons, drawing a capacitor, and great for giving you the impression that you've learned about it, because that's the degree of understanding of your teachers. So your teacher will feel, you know, it's good to not know this, it's good to not understand that, because that's like what I've done, and I've lived a perfectly happy life being conditioned. It's sort of like this insane slavery. I can imagine, yeah, you are enslaved to this system. Now, capacitors are things, objects, where electrons, as little particles, don't flow, but an electric field floats, and we have to look at electric field and electric field lines. Now, the way I want to describe a field is generally a three-dimensional field. So it's a number, refers to a quantity of something. If I can take a volume, and for every, say it's a volume 10 by 10 by 10, it's 1,000 units there. For each coordinate block in that 1,000, it has a value. I can say that number is a list of numbers, 1,000 numbers long. So it may be 1, 1, 2, 3, 2, 1, 1. It goes along. And so I could write that number as a single number. So really, a field, well, I suppose, is a single number. It will, if it can be described by less numbers, the better. But it really is basically a telephone book of individual numbers with the addresses. So if you imagine, say if everyone was arranged in space in nice, neat rows, right? So if everyone got stacked in a three-dimensional building, in a building of different floors, and in the ground floor, well, in the top floor, I've got all the people of A, alphabetically, and then the next floor I have them all B, it goes down until the bottom floor, it's all Z, and I've got, say, 20,000 people. So this is so-called villages in the Blue Mountain. They'll rock up to the city one day and they'll all cram into the skyscraper. And then I get them to write down all their telephone numbers in order with their names. I would come out with a telephone book of their numbers, their position in space with a number associated. That telephone book will be a representation of the field of numbers up there. Or if anyone wrote their mass, or the mass of everyone there, or whatever. So a field refers to a volume in general, a volume, or you can have a two-dimensional field. So if I take a slice of something, and this is something which absolutely drives me absolutely bonkers crazy, but that is a field there, if I can imagine, is a box, a matrix of numbers, And so an example of a scalar field would be the temperature. So I can walk around a football field and then recording the temperatures, and then a short while later I can put the thermometer up a pole, a meter high, 2 meters high, and I will get eventually a field. It's called a scalar field. I also have the pressure there. Or if I measured the wind speed, I'd have a vector field. Or if I measured, say there was a big charge there, I measured the, if there's a big positive charge, then I measured the force on that sphere. I had a positive charge, and there's a positive charge, and I pulled away. I would measure the electric field. So the electric field is a description. It's not a mechanism. Now, the electric field operates due to electrons distorting, or charge distorting the charge bane, which creates an acceleration. So this, the charge bane is superimposed upon the mass bane, and the mass bane, or the gravity bane, the electric field bane, and it creates this. So the field's just a description. The field is just a telephone book, and yes, sure and sure, it's like a three-dimensional survey, and I find that people in a certain part of the township near the roads are really angry because they've got no sleep at night. They're obese and stuff like that. And I will have this in my book, that people are obese near a road, but they're obese by a road because of the noise, not because of my book, which actually says they're obese there. Now, I've got this book, and this, oh gosh, someone's unloaded their bowels somewhere around here. It absolutely stinks. It's the portaloos up here for the workers. My God, someone's obviously had a curry. Okay, so one of the things is that we've got this idea of force emanating via lines, and this is sort of the quintessential way that I approach a capacitor. One is that I have the mythical sprinkling of electrons, like a dusting of chicken salt, and then a pock marks up at the top for the positive things. But then I also put in these field lines of force, these field lines, and I'm told that a field line is actually what causes the force. And where do field lines come from? I might be able to just get enough time to go over this point. So field lines are the failed, all right, get you're used to this, the failed imagination sketch device of Faraday. Now, Faraday was the first person to build inductors and plates and motors. He was at the very start, and he was not a mathematical person. He was a religious person and a preacher, and he was a printer, and he and his wife used to do drawings of Jesus and base it on the medieval drawings, and they had halos around the saints, and the saints had light emanating in lines, from lines of goodness and force. And so he developed a few things. He said, well, as my pile of electrons, my electric charge, is Jesus, I am going to draw Jesus lines out from it. And these Jesus lines are your electric field lines. So as field is a description, a mathematical thing, this is an artistic depiction of force. Now, if you're very rigorous on it, you can communicate clearly. So, an apostle who's got less magic will produce less field lines than God. God produces massive number of field lines. So the number of field lines are proportional to the charge. And it so happens that if you draw field lines away from an object, they will spread out and become more fine. Now, one of the things is that the etchings are in two dimensions. Now, remarkably, we teach our children to draw charges in two dimensions in a quasi-religious way. That is, if I draw a charge, I will draw around that charge typically 8 field lines emanating from that charge, and they will go from that charge to the edge of the page because those field lines can't stop. Well, look, it's all okay until you go to three dimensions, because the density of those field lines will diminish as those field lines actually fill space. There'll actually be a field line. Even if those 8 field lines begin on the page, they will lift off and above and below that page, as that page is infinitely thin. But what we are doing is we are teaching our kids to draw God and the etching of God, and we produce it. So the greater the charge in an object, the greater the field lines go. And the field lines go from good plus to evil minus. So if every field line comes from a positive charge and ends on a negative charge. So there's a number of things which are fortuitous there. And Faraday said, look, there's so much good about this model. Surely, Maxwell, there can be some mathematics in it. There can be some reality in it. And Maxwell, who was... So you've got to understand that the arrogance of his teachers, which keeps your children ignorant, didn't exist back then. Faraday didn't want to be bullshitted. We want to bullshit your children to take your money from them. However, and Maxwell said, look, I've done it, and indeed light and electric field can be explained by these equations, which are, so looking at that, he said, no, the answer is Maxwell's equations, and then from Maxwell came Einstein and modern physics. Okay, so if you imagine this is a... Now, the other thing to point out is that Faraday was suffering strokes and dementia. And so as he thought he had a solution, towards the end of his life, he said, look, I can't even keep a simple thought in my head. So now, one of the, I suppose, the beautiful, I've also suffered brain damage and stuff like that. And one of the things is, there's no point in getting angry. One of the things, if you're smart enough, you think, you know, things can, if you forget things, you can become frustrating. And if people say, look, I've told this to you before, and get angry at you, but fortunately, Faraday didn't get angry. And we'll just go back to Einstein had three pictures on his wall in his Berlin office, and they were of Faraday, Maxwell, and Schopenhauer. And Maxwell himself realized that we are teaching something that the person who originated said had no value. And Maxwell, who proved it had no value, said that these drawings are like the sketches for an ancient civilization. They signify a lot, but nothing. And he was saying it was like an ancient civilization, like the drawings of God and deity and stuff like that. They mean something culturally. Now, what has happened is that they have this meaning, and people have really gone into it. But we have some basic properties here, which is like a guide, a religious catechism for drawing field lines in two dimensions. So we say field lines do not leave the page. Now, if I draw a circle, I'm actually drawing a rod that comes out, which is okay. And field lines allow me to express things easily, and they're very valuable for education in terms of they can actually communicate and test complex objects, but then nonetheless routed in clear explanation and clear examination, but not in physical reality. So our education reality is different from that. Now, I've unfortunately come to the end of my walk, and I will, in my next episode, do the religious right of field lines and hopefully discuss that with you. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.